as a result of past experiences of preaching on the subject of anger. Someone is going to get angry. It never fails. When I preach on the subject of anger, somebody gets angry. I'm reminded of back in the early 1990s, or middle 1990s, when I was preaching on the subject of anger. It was a series. And I happened to run into one of the members of our church in the hallway at the local hospital. And I said to her, "How are you doing?" She responded in a very gruff way, "Well, I'll have you know that I will be attending the church down the street from me until your series on anger is over. I'm going to a church where the preacher preaches sermons where sinners get saved." Ouch. I mean, it was like a verbal blow to the stomach. But it reminded me of a saying that I had heard many years earlier. When you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. So obviously this person had been hit by that first sermon in the series on anger. That's one of the reasons that I was not at all insulted by her comment. I really was not, because I knew this person had anger issues. And like an alcoholic in denial of his problem, this person was in denial of the problem of anger that was present in her life. So I then said to her, "Well, the series will be over in 2 weeks, and I can't wait to see you back in our church." And 2 weeks later, there that person was back in our church. So, for the next 3 weeks, be prepared. Now, what will we learn in these 3 weeks? First of all, we'll learn what anger is from the biblical perspective. We'll learn about what makes us angry. We will learn about camouflaged anger. We will learn about the three types of anger. We will learn what determines the intensity of our anger. But most importantly, we will learn how to win over our anger. So let's begin the journey with the subject, winning over anger. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 is the anchor for today's sermon. "But now you must put off all of these," Paul writes, "anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Notice he says that we are to put off anger. So let's ask a couple of questions today. First question, just exactly what is anger? What is anger? We've heard about it, we feel it, we experienced it, but what exactly is anger? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says this: "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath." So when we want to find out about anger, we've got to get to the Bible. What does the Bible say here in Ephesians 4:26? It says that anger in and of itself is an emotion that is neutral. It is what we do with anger that determines whether or not it becomes sin in our lives. So in this verse, Ephesians 4:26, Paul encourages Christians in two ways. Number one, when you get angry, do not sin. And number two, when you get angry, deal with the issue immediately. Failure to do so will lead to other spiritually harmful responses. Now, anger is a prevalent emotion among all people, including Christians. Christians get angry also. As a matter of fact, I would like to do an exercise in spiritual transparency this morning. I would like to ask you a very honest question, and I would like to give me a very honest response. How many of you included, how many of us got angry at least one time this past week? Hold up your hand if you got angry just one time this past. This is almost a unanimous vote. And notice my hand is up also. So it's very prevalent. That's the reason that God's Word deals with it, because God wants us to have victory in our lives. Now, anger poses a serious threat to our spiritual well-being. It can lead to resentment, to bitterness, to criticism, to envy, to anger, not to anger, but to anxiety and even hatred. But anger also poses a threat to our physical well-being. It can result in a heightened blood pressure, heart palpitations, trembling, increase in stress hormones, and even shortness of breath. One newspaper in Dallas, Texas said this: a person's hostility and anger toward others could lead to heart disease and premature death. As a matter of fact, Dr. Robert Williams of the Duke University Medical Center said this about anger. He said, individuals who harbor hostility and anger toward others are 5 times more likely to die from heart disease and 6 times more likely to die prematurely from other causes. So this is an important subject. You see, what affects us physically can also affect us spiritually. And what can affect us spiritually can also affect us physically. So Ephesians 4:26 is a very significant verse. God indeed knows all about us, and He's concerned for both our spiritual and our physical well-being. Number two, the second question: what causes anger? What is it that causes you and me to become angry? You see, when anger occurs, whenever you become angry, whenever I become angry, there are two things that are present: a person and a threat. That is, us and a threat. You see, when you and I become angry, or we feel anger, you and I feel threatened or endangered by something. Let me use some examples. A person who drives recklessly. Someone who strongly criticizes you. What about this one, parents? A child who refuses to obey you. A wife who is late getting ready for a dinner engagement. A husband who forgets an anniversary. A boss who gets on you in your face at work. A traffic light that is malfunctioning when you're in a hurry. You see, any threat to your selfhood triggers an internal alarm system indicating that you are under attack. Whether you want to or not, your whole being, your whole body goes on alert, mobilizing in response to the threatening situation. I'm going to explain this further in just a few moments. You see, the emotions that get aroused are the most important part of this mobilizing response. You see, the anxiety, which you feel when you're alarmed, produces two emotional responses: fear and anger. So remember this: when you become angry, it's because some way, somehow, you feel threatened, and your anger is a defense mechanism to protect you against what you feel threatened by. Now let's dig a little bit deeper. I'll just pick on myself this morning. I remember in my first pastorate that I was driving down the road toward Glasgow, Kentucky. We lived in a little small community of Fountain Run, and whenever you wanted to go anywhere, you had to travel 45 minutes to get to civilization. So here I am driving on that main highway going to Glasgow, Kentucky. The speed limit is 55 miles an hour. And, of course, like any other, God-fearing American, I'm driving 5 miles above the speed limit. I don't know where that's in the law, but it's just there that if the speed limit is 55, you drive 60. If it's 40, you drive 45. But don't you dare drive over 45, because you'll get a ticket. So I'm driving 60 miles an hour, and far up ahead, I see a car that's driving very, very slowly. So here I am, I'm driving down, and I think, well, there's no traffic coming the other direction, so I'm just going to pass this guy. I'm not going to hit the brakes. I'm just going to go by this guy and get around him. He's driving so slowly. Well, as I started to pass him, he suddenly decided that he wanted to make a left turn without turning on his turning indicator. So you say, Mike, what did you say? Well, I said, may the Lord bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. I wish I could have said that. Unfortunately, I said something that was not so spiritual. I didn't cuss. I felt like it. But I said, "You idiot!" Slammed on my brakes. My car left the road, went to the ditch, and barely avoided a serious accident. Now, during that episode, I felt two things: fear and anger. First of all, I was afraid of injury, of pain, or damage to my car. Number two, I felt anger toward the driver of the other car for failing to use his turning indicator and thereby risking a serious accident. So do you understand what I'm saying? Anger is the result of feeling threatened. You see, from my perspective, I had a principle there that when you're driving down the road and there's traffic and you're going to turn, you need to turn your turning indicator or you could cause a serious accident. He violated that, so therefore I felt threatened. My principle felt threatened, therefore I became angry. So you see, anger is the result of a threat to self, whether real or perceived. Now, let me show you from the Bible three aspects of your personhood that is vulnerable to being threatened. Letter A, threats to our physical self. What is it that makes us angry? Threats to our physical self, much like what I just illustrated. But let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 2, because the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to you, to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.'" Now, what's that all about? Well, this person, Jezebel, is angry at Elijah for executing the false prophets. She, in anger, said, "Buddy, I'm going to kill you just the way that you killed my prophets." You see, Jezebel was angry. She felt physically threatened by God's prophet Elijah. Elijah has killed my prophets. He could kill me next. So she devised a plan to kill him. You see, here is a significant truth about anger. It is a defense mechanism. What do I mean? When you get angry because of an actual or a perceived threat, your anger pushes people back. Your anger protects the principles that you feel are threatened. So when we get angry, we're trying to push the other person back. When a husband and wife get engaged in a battle, they are defending their turf. They're defending their beliefs. They're defending who they are, and they're trying to push the other person back because they feel threatened. Now, you know why some people get angry? In regard to this, what about you encounter a reckless driver? What about this? You are diagnosed with a terminal disease. How many people have you known through the years who get angry because they have been diagnosed with a... They get angry at themselves. They get angry at the doctor. They get angry at God. What about somebody who threatens your life? Do you say, "Well, God bless you. Thank you for doing that. It just made my day." No, it makes you angry. You see, each of these is a threat to our personal well-being. Letter B. We become angry when we have the threat to our social self. Here's a perfect example. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the genealogy of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was the sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them of his, brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, the Bible says Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. Now, listen to this. And he made a coat of many colors. Next verse, significant. But when his brothers saw that they loved, that their father loved him more than all of their brothers, what? They hated him, the result of anger. And they could not speak peaceably to him. In other words, they were always arguing with him. Now, Jacob the father showed favoritism toward Joseph over his 11 brothers. So verse 4 says, they hated him and they couldn't speak to him without arguing. In other words, these brothers had this principle that parents should love their children equally. But this principle was being threatened by Joseph. So what do they do? When a person feels threatened, they become angry. And if they don't deal with their anger, all of a sudden, there is sin. And here, it's hatred and continually arguing with him. So let's piece this together. Your network of family and friends are a significant part of who you are. You and I need to love, and our need to be loved is very powerful. So when any of these relationships are threatened, you and I may experience fear and anger. I remember one night when my wife and I were just going to bed. I was in seminary in Memphis, Tennessee, and we lived in an apartment, and I had just turned the lights out. We were both tired. We were going to go to sleep. Well, as we lay in bed about to fall asleep, we were startled by a loud explosion of words in the next apartment. The husband and wife got into a vicious argument, going back and forth and cussing each other out, and it just astounded me. I mean, and we heard it all. And finally she broke down and cried. She shouted in anger, "I just wished you would put me first once in a while instead of your dad. Do you think that's asking too much? He's always first." Now this wife was angry because she felt threatened by her husband's relationship with his father. From her perspective, it seemed like he loved his father more than he loved her. So she felt threatened. Therefore, the internal alarm system went on in her life, and she became angry. And in order to beat back the threat, she got angry. Let's go back to the story of Joseph. The brothers felt threatened by Joseph. They felt less valued, less loved, and less appreciated. The alarm system was going off. As a matter of fact, their internal alarm system was stuck. Letter C, threats to our self-esteem. Here's another thing that causes us to become angry. You know, it's an amazing thing that when I did an exhaustive study of anger many, many years ago and learned so much about anger and learned so much about myself, all of a sudden I realized I don't need to be angry. Do I still get angry? Yes. Do I get angry as much as I used to? Absolutely not. Letter C, threats to our self-esteem. The Bible says, 1 Samuel 18:5 through 8. So David went out whenever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. Hey, David was doing his job. Saul set him out over men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of all of Saul's servants. Everything's okay right now. Now it happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of Goliath, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, and they were singing and dancing to meet King Saul. And they had tambourines, and they had with joy and musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced. And this is what they said. "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Then Saul blew his top. He was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed 1,000s. Now what more can he have of the kingdom?" You see, he felt threatened. His self-esteem. People thought that David was more important than he was. You see, self-esteem means how you feel about yourself. When something negative happens to you, your self-esteem is deflated. In most instances, you are threatened because your self-esteem is lowered by another person's judgment. Anger sets in. You become angry to prevent a loss of self-esteem. Anger here is a defense against humiliation. Just like Saul's anger against David. Let me use an example. My brother and myself. I've told you before that my brother and myself just couldn't get along growing up. My mom is going to get a special reward in heaven because of putting up with my brother and me and all of our fighting. We used to fight all the time. Well, mom thought, well, maybe if they played a game together, they'd get along. So she'd get the checkerboard out, and we'd start playing checkers. I loved playing checkers with my brother because I'd always beat him. And, you know, it's always fun to win. And so my brother and I sit down playing checkers, and all of a sudden I start jumping his men, and I'd go to the end and get crowned, and I'd just go over that board, and man, I would rag him. Not only would I beat him, but I also would rub it in. And I rubbed it in real hard. And he just kept getting madder and madder and madder. And finally, as I was just about to win the checker game, he'd take his hand and scatter all the checkerboards all across the room and go, You see, his self-esteem was being threatened. By being beaten, but also by being humiliated. So his anger was his way of defending himself, of protecting himself against what he thought was a real threat to his self-esteem. Let me use some other examples, and you might be in this one. A teacher laughs at your response to a question in the classroom. A boss sternly criticizes you in front of your co-workers and humiliates you. You are not invited to a friend's party, although your other friends are. You see, all of these things are a threat to our self-esteem. So the internal alarm system goes off and we get angry as a defense against the threat. Letter D. A threat to our ideas and values. Now, when he, Jesus, had departed from there, he went to their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, and you'll not lay hold and get it out? Of how much more value, then, is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out. And it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out, the Bible says, and took counsel against him how they might destroy him. Anger. Threatened. How do you do it? You become angry to protect yourself. What are they going to do as a result of their anger? They're going to kill Jesus. You see, the Pharisees' alarm system was going off. They were both fearful and angry. Why? When Jesus did something that violated the Pharisees' values and beliefs, they felt threatened. Because of their anger, they were going to kill Jesus and remove the threat. You see, when ideas that are important to you and me are violated by others, we feel threatened. We become angry. Let me use some examples. You're in a hurry and someone cuts in line in front of you. Does that make you happy? Does that make you think, well, God bless you, sir. You deserve to be in there because you're a far more important person than I am. What about this? You are terminated along with others so that shareholders can earn a greater profit. What about this one? Someone makes you a promise and breaks it without any remorse. It is called a threat. So let's sum it all up. We encounter a threat, whether it's actual or perceived. Then our internal alarm system goes on. And it activates all of our body. We experience anger. It is our defense against the threat. But God desires to give us victory over our anger. His son Jesus Christ said, I'm come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So you see, the Bible has your best interest at heart when it says, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Let us pray.